B-Pod Studios.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Let's bring in the man who covers the Sixers for The Athletic, Rich Hoffman, on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Hello, Rich.
Hey, Mike.
All right, Rich, so you're reading and listening to the same comments as these guys, and everybody's really nervous about this. I know once they get down there, things may settle down, but what is your perspective on whether this thing gets pulled off?
I think it will get pulled off. But, yeah, like you said, there is not, like, a uniform, let's go down there and do this type of thing. Like, I think even some of the players who are excited to play understand that they are taking a risk and they are unknown. And I think, you know, even yesterday you hear from two guys like Joel Embiid mm-hmm. and Shake Milton, who they're on different ends of the, or not different ends, but different parts of the food chain with the team. But you would think that both of those guys have a lot to play for. Embiid to establish himself as, you know, a real top tier player, Milton to establish himself as a, like, rotation player. And even both of those guys said that, yeah, I'm not so sure about this. So mm-hmm. I don't think it's everybody on the team, but, you know, it's one of those things where even with the best laid plans, once this was put into practice, it's going to be weird. Like, I think the mental health aspect of, you know, these guys having a lot of their freedom taken away is going to take a toll on them as well. I think for sure, up and down the roster, there are a lot of guys who are feeling, you know, a little bit iffy about it.
I think the safest place for them is to get on the floor, because I think basketball players, I think once they get on the floor, the competitiveness takes over. But it's like the bubble time and the angst in the bubble. I think there's really going to be an adjustment, mental adjustment for these guys. And, you know, a guy like Joel Embiid, he says, I'm a homebody, so you have to worry about me. But he's worried about other dudes around the league.
Yeah, he brought up that he said that, like, yeah, I trust myself. And to be clear, I would trust him too, because when he says, like, all he does is play video mm-hmm. games, I think that is pretty much true. And other people have volunteered that as well. Yeah, I think he has concern for how they're going to enforce the bubble and, you know, to make sure that if somebody leaves, then, you know, you can't come back without going through the quarantine steps. I actually am, I was working on the story. I don't know if you've seen on ESPN recently, they have this, the basketball tournament.
Yes, I've been watching it. Yep.
Yeah, and it's cool because
the bubble.
It's live basketball.
Yeah, yeah, and they're in the bubble.
And I was
in Columbus, Ohio bubble.
Yep, and there are a few guys on a Philly-based team. I think it's Team Brotherly Love.
Mm-hmm.
These former college players, who I think anybody who would watch Temple and Ryder and a bunch of these teams would know these names. And it's funny, a lot of these guys are pros in Europe, so you would think that they are more conditioned to, you know, be away from their families. And even if it's not as restrictive, like they are allowed to go outside in Europe, there is a sense of loneliness over there.
Mm-hmm.
Even they say that for a couple of weeks, you know, it's like, it's certainly an adjustment, and how they, the precautions they have to take to not catch COVID. The NBA will be a little bit different because TBD doesn't have as much money. They're basically making these guys stay in the same hotel. But, you know, like for an NBA team that has to be there for, I don't know, like 2 months, 3 months, if you make the finals, it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, it is. And I'm glad you brought up that, that tournament, because here's the difference. It's not as much of a choice for those guys. Like, they're playing for subsistence, you know? Yeah. Like, the NBA players, they creeps into their head, you know, I have a choice. I got some stocked away. So, I want the only thing I wonder about is whether the heart is fully in it and whether we see full ball NBA ball. And, again, that's trumped up by the fact that once they get on the floor, competitiveness takes over. So, I don't know how to feel about what I'm actually going to see in these games.
It's a great question, and you know, you're seeing it with, I mean, Brooklyn and Washington and Phoenix, I think, has just had a couple players test positive. But you're seeing these teams that really didn't have a shot anyway, not sending any of their best players. So I think it's pretty safe to assume, especially like in the Eastern Conference, the play-in tournament is going to be a complete joke. But I do think, like, even with the Sixers, who have guys who are, you know, they have second thoughts. They don't feel perfect about it. I know Jason Tatum and other people have said that too. It's not just the Sixers. I do think that the teams that actually have a chance to compete once they get on the floor, like you said, I think the competitive juices are going to be there. And I would hope that, okay, maybe the seeding games, there are going to be some hiccups. Maybe they figure some things out with the testing and all of the protocols. But hopefully, by the time, you know, the second, third round of the playoffs kick in, the basketball becomes really good again.
All right, let's lead up to that third round of the playoffs, which you hope the Sixers are in. But let's go back to the drawing board here, because that's what Brett Brown's had to do in all these months, kind of go back to the drawing board and figure out a way. Now, he hasn't played with these guys together, so this is also the new twist. How do you think this plays out strategy-wise on what he's going to do with this team?
And Mike, I think it'll probably be the second round, likely when he really has to have everything in place, because, you know, with Victor Oladipo not playing, I think the Sixers, if they want the five seed, and they play somewhat hard, they will have that, and that means Milwaukee in the second round. I think from what we have heard from the coach, from the players, it has not been confirmed. I'm sure they'll keep their cards somewhat close to the vest. I would imagine that Al Horford will come off the bench and Shake Milton will start, just from what we heard, and the idea that they've already kind of ripped that Band-Aid off way back when the world was a little more normal in February. And I think it's going to be a lot of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid trying to play off each other, whether that's in those snug pick and rolls that they run down on the baseline. I think we're going to see a lot of Ben Simmons as a screen and roll man. But I think they're still going to try and figure out how to splice Al Horford in the middle and try and get him to play with Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. I would imagine like the rotation. My guess is that you'll see two of those guys on the floor at all times, but they're going to avoid three because of the spacing concerns.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Here's the thing. Yeah, in eight games, like, what do? You eight games not enough. So to me, it's foolish to tinker. Like, you gotta have a plan ready to go as soon as you start these games. So what do you think he will do? He'll tinker to find out what's going to work in eight games, because I still don't think that's enough. I think it's foolish. But is that where he would go?
No, I think they're going to use the seeding games as a dress rehearsal.
Okay, so the rotation will be shorter?
Yeah, I think they will have to balance like minutes and ramp up. So there is a little bit of a balancing act. Like, you know, you're not going to put Joel Embiid, 36, 38 minutes in game one, I would imagine. Like you're not going to go quite that far. So maybe there might be like an extra spot for Korkmaz and Seibel and a few other players where all of those guys get in the game and they're kind of fighting for the last spot. But yeah, I think by the end of it, you're going to want to have, you know, like an 8 or 9 man rotation with the right guys starting, the right guys finishing, because like you said, yeah, there's not a lot of time to goof around here and try and figure out stuff.
All right. You brought up playing Milwaukee in the second round. They're toast if they have to play him in the second round. I don't think that they're going to be ready to play Milwaukee in the second round. So my theory is they can't go ahead of Indiana. That to beat Milwaukee, have a fighting chance at Milwaukee, they've got to play together and have success for a couple of series. So they stay six, they win the first round, they win the second round, and then they got Milwaukee with two good series under the belt with confidence figuring something out. I can't have Milwaukee in the second round, Rich.
It's a fair point, and I think Milwaukee is the 1,000-pound gorilla just waiting there, because yeah, they've been the best team. It's there's so many variables though with it. Mike, like, could a Milwaukee guy get hurt right away, or maybe somebody test positive for COVID? I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you, and I think I've been on record where I think they're going to play better in this playoffs. Like, I just think they are more suited to play playoff basketball.
They are healthy right now. They have all 16 guys going down there. Pretty much everybody in the starting lineup had some sort of nagging injury that is now theoretically gone. I think this is going to be better. But yeah, it's like you said, like even if they have an extra level, what they showed is like, you know, it's like three or four levels to get to Milwaukee.
We had Charles Barkley on the other day. They seem to be the fashionable pick that they can do something. And Charles is, they got the two best players on the floor at any time. And so that should mean something. I get that. So I'll ask you, is this reality they'll rise up or is it a dream?
I do think Embiid, when he is locked in, affects the game in ways that some guys that score, you know, 25 points a game in the regular season, they just don't. Like, he was terrible in that Raptors series last year offensively, and yet they could not take him off the floor because just his presence just makes everything so hard for the other team.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, like, at some point, you know, like, there's a lot of discussion about the coach. Is he the right guy? Blah, blah, blah. Are the pieces around them, do they fit? Maybe we're not there yet, but at some point, the playoffs become a referendum on how good your best two players are. And I understand the fit isn't perfect between those two, but at some point, like the general rule of a playoff series is the team with the best player on the floor wins. And so, like, against Milwaukee, I think you can reasonably say that they don't have the best player on the floor. But against anybody else in the East, like if you're playing against Toronto or Boston, who have been better than them this year, they should have the best player on the floor, whether it's either of those guys. So at some point, I do think, like, you know, as much as the excuses about the fit and the coaches and all those things, at some point, the best players have to play like it and lead you to winning.
All right, last question is this, because I'm thinking of a rotation, and we'll play with the concept that Shake Milton is going to be in the starting lineup. Horford comes off the bench. 8-man rotation, 9-man rotation, and would the 8 be then Horford, Burks, who else?
So one guy who I'm pretty interested to see what they do with is Mike Scott, who I don't think has played well this year and is a pretty one-dimensional player, even though he's such a fan favorite, and I certainly enjoy his candor when he talks at all times. I do think, like, there is a value, though, in that Raptors series last year and in the Brooklyn series, the one before where he made the shot in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they've seen him perform in high-pressure games is something that you can't necessarily say for some of these other guys. Like, I think Thibault is really interesting because as good as he is, the playoffs are about your weakest link a lot of times, and if he is not shooting the ball well, he gives you very little on the offensive end. I think there's a question of, you know, do you play Burks or Glenn Robinson, who probably gives you a little more defense than Burks, but Burks is a better ball handler. So if I had to guess, I think it will be Scott and then one of those three other guys.
So yeah. There will be a 9-man rotation. So Horford, Burks, Scott, and either Korkmaz, Thibault.
Or Robinson.
Okay.
You know, getting about 10 minutes per game. But yeah, I think for the most part, it's going to be an 8-man rotation. And then we've seen, you know, the Sixers in recent years, if they are comfortable with their starting lineup, once you get into the game sixes and the game sevens of the series that matter, and it turns into seven really quickly.
All right, Rich, we'll see what happens, man. Now, how are you covering this whole thing as they're in the bubble?
From afar, I think, like everybody else, our company is going to send a lot of people down there, or a few people down there for sure. There are some like expense issues and things like that. I do understand that it's just crazy times right now, and hopefully we are able to talk to these guys on Zoom. I feel like I am an expert at Zoom now. Hopefully, these guys will still be able to talk to us. But yeah, I'm pretty sure I'll be in Philly like the rest of us watching.
All right, brother. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Okay, Mike. Thank you.
All right, Rich Hoffman from The Athletic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.